Thanks for tuning into Sermoncast. You're listening to The Great I Am, a sermon series studying the statements Jesus made about himself. To find the study guide for this series or to learn more about Christ Church, please visit ccnh.org.
Talking about these Great I Am statements. And the last couple of weeks, we've seen Jesus say some pretty startling things. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And then, of course, he said that he was the bread of life and talked about eating his flesh and drinking his blood and some really startling words that even those who were originally hearing those words, they were startled in response to that. This morning, we're going to turn our attention to the phrase, I am the light of the world. Jesus declared that ego a me, that covenant name of God again, I am, and he attached it to the metaphor, the light of the world. So we're going to take a look at that in John's Gospel, chapter 8. But before we do, how about you? Did any of you get any of the time in the reading this week? Look at some of those passages. Do you have any thoughts or observations as you did? And again, back to what Mike said, those claims. Jesus is making claims. John is making claims, recording those claims. Jesus saying, I'm God. Absolutely. I and the Father are one. Well, let me remind you that a couple weeks ago when we started this, we saw where there was great division among the people where Jesus' identity was concerned. Some thought he was a prophet. Some thought he was teacher, some thought maybe this is the Messiah. And there was that great division, kind of a polarizing effect as Jesus said these things. People had to choose. What do they do? What do they believe in response? This week we're going to look in a text where the division comes concerning the claims, concerning the things that Jesus is saying about himself that seem so absolutely wild and other. And people are divided about those claims, whether he has the right to make them, whether they can be validated by corroboration, those kinds of things. I want to read chapter 8, verses 12 through 30, and I want to spend the bulk of our time talking about verse 12. But I do want to share with you some of my observations through the text, touch on a couple of these things that we've talked about as well. So let me read this, and then we'll just kind of walk our way through a bit. Beginning in verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The Pharisees challenged him. Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I'm not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, where is your Father? You do not know me or my Father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple courts near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. Once more, Jesus said to them, I'm going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you're from below, and I'm from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, and if you do not believe that I am he, you will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? They asked. Just what I've been telling you from the beginning. Jesus replied, I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is trustworthy, and what I've heard from him I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. And even as he spoke, many believed in him. You know, as you look at that text on a whole, you know, kind of the summary of what happens is Jesus makes this claim, I am the light of the world. And the Pharisees and those who were challenging him and opposing him don't even respond to that statement, but rather kind of shift gears, focusing on whether he has the right to testify about himself. Did you see that? They don't even want to take up that phrase. They want to simply say, well, who are you to give yourself such a pat on the back? Reminds me of that commercial that's on television right now about Verizon Fios against Comcast. Have you seen that one? Two men are sitting side by side, and the one man proudly announces, I just signed up for Verizon Fios. It's the fastest internet. All these newspapers, all these magazines, all these other companies corroborate that. And his friend says, well, I just signed up with Comcast because Comcast is the best. And the Verizon guy says, well, who says Comcast is the best? Comcast says Comcast is the best. But the flyer's really cool. It's got a lot of fun colors on it. The idea is you can't corroborate that by yourself. And this is where the Pharisees go. Who are you to tell us this? If you did dig deeper this week, back in John chapter 5, you saw that Jesus spoke of other witnesses. John the Baptist witnessed to the identity of Christ. The miracles, the works that Jesus did testify to the identity of Jesus Christ. God the Father himself spoke up, testifying to the identity of Jesus Christ. And the scriptures, specifically the scriptures that Moses gave us, speak to the coming and the identity of Jesus Christ. And here in this text, Jesus says, and it's not just me, it's the Father who testifies with me. And just like we've seen in all these other texts, confusion now erupts because the carnal mind is thinking physical Father when Jesus is speaking spiritually about his heavenly Father. And then this whole idea of where did you come from? Where are you going? Confusion erupts because the carnal mind is thinking places. What town are you from? Where are you going? You're going to kill yourself? What's this all about? And of course, he's speaking spiritually of his identifying with the Father. I and the Father are one. Look down at verse 24 and 28. In both of those verses, Jesus again takes that covenant name of God upon himself. You see that as I read it, I read, I am he. But in your scriptures, the word he is supplied. So the way that this actually reads, if you do not believe that I am, you will indeed be in your sins. In verse 28, then you will know that I am and that I do nothing on my own. Three times in this text, twice more here, Jesus takes that covenant name and applies it to himself. And it wasn't misunderstood. This audience heard him saying that. You remember the previous text we looked at where they picked up stones because they read that as blasphemy. And then look at verse 30 with me. I wonder if any of you were struck as I was. Even as Jesus spoke, many believed in him. Boy, this is good news. You just read about the salvation of souls. As Jesus spoke these words, I am the light of the world, people were forced to deal with, how do I respond to that? What do I do with that? And many of them decided, I'm going to believe his claim. And so right here in the text, we're reading about people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. That's a good thing. Look back at verse 24. In 24, Jesus said, if you don't believe, you're lost. You'll die in your sin. So very good news that as Jesus said this about himself, people came to faith, saving faith. Now go back to 12 with me. This verse is such a key verse. This verse says things that you could meditate on for a lifetime. You could share with your friends as a way of leading them to faith in Christ. Jesus spoke again to the people. He said, I am, there's that covenant name, the light of the world. How would you hear that? I am the light of the world. As you hear that, as you hear Jesus say that, how do you put that into perspective? How do you understand that? I am the light of the world. As Allard pointed out, this whole deal of light and life so closely connected. If you look back in John chapter 1, Jesus is introduced as the life that gives light to men. How do you contextualize this when Jesus says, I am the light of the world? What does that mean? When he says, I'm the light of the world, is he saying that the whole world is now light because of him? Obviously not, because then he speaks of those who walk in darkness. How did you say that, Al? Darkness is the absence of light, but not necessarily the other way. Is it? Great observation. Great truth. When he says, I am the light of the world, I read that as the only light of the world. Choice is Jesus or darkness. There's no third alternative. That's a tough one to swallow as you hear that. The choice is Jesus or darkness, no third alternative. I am the light of the world. And because he is the light of the world, that seems to me so clearly inclusive of all humanity. He's the light for everyone. And the rest of that phrase says, whoever follows me. Now, you know of my little pet peeve with personal pronouns and pronouns. I hate it when people get this wrong. It drives me crazy when I go to a restaurant and I order a hamburger. And the waiter or waitress comes back to me and says, how is everything? Well, I got a little gas. Got some fungus on my big toe. My kids are fussing. But of course you wanted to know, how is my lunch? But you didn't say that. You used the wrong pronoun. You said, how is everything? All, everything, the whole world. Whoever. You know, in this text, though, Jesus, the light of the world, it is that big. It is that all-inclusive. There's not another alternative. All roads don't lead here. Jesus is declaring, and we'll read it in just a few weeks, he's the road. He's the way. There's no other. And saying that he's the light of the world, I don't know if any of you think as strangely as I do, but I thought about all the uses of light. You know, it illuminates something and warms hamburgers. Think about light. There's a light in our bathroom. You turn it on when you get out of the shower, it warms the room. You're like a hamburger as you towel off. Right? Think of the uses of light. The other night I was out having coffee with Doug and Jason, getting together and just talking like guys do. Conversations all over the place. We kind of got ADD when we're together. One of my uncles passed away last week. So the guys were asking me about that, and I was sharing. We kind of went down the path of life and death. And as we did, we wondered aloud, what of people who don't believe in Jesus? What if people who don't have a scriptural view of life and death? What if the view is simply you die and dust to dust, it's over. Annihilation, we're done. And in that conversation, our following, possessing the light, informed our thinking. From there, we went to sports. We went to comedians. Who's the best comedian? Who's the best comic actor? We went to every movie that Bill Murray ever was in. ADD, I told you. Then we got somehow onto stars, solar systems, and aliens. We did, we really did. It was them, I didn't bring that up, but all of those conversations, we kept seeing where light, the light that we have in Christ, informed our thinking about that to some extent. I am the light of the world. And Jesus said, whoever follows me will have that light. whoever follows me. You know, last week we talked about faith as resting in something, not simply just mentally accepting it. And the idea of following here is like suited. This is not just milling around behind someone, stumbling along in their wake. But this is walking in step with. This is walking embraced by the light of the world. I told this story before, I think, but grew up a huge fan of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. My brother Doug moved to Tampa. The year was 1978. My dad and I were visiting my brother for the weekend. And my brother said, "Darren, I'm fairly sure a Tampa Bay Buccaneer player lives right across the street from me in that house over there." "How do you know this, Doug?" "Well, he's a big black man." "Must be." So I wanted to figure out who this was. I had the entire roster of the 1978 Buccaneers memorized. I knew every player by name. Knew most of their pictures from programs that I had. Figured I could figure out who it was if I could just see him. But the man didn't come out of his house. So after a long time of waiting and watching, I asked my dad and my brother for permission to just go knock on the door. I crossed the street, knocked on the door. My dad and my brother looking out the window. A little old lady answered the door. I said, "Ma'am, is there a football player who lives here?" And she said, "Johnny, someone's here to see you." My head ran through the roster. Two Johnnies. Skinny little white guy named Johnny McKay, the coach's son, and a big fullback, black man named Johnny Davis. I'm standing at the door of Johnny Davis's home. They invited me in. My brother and my father probably having a stroke watching across the street as I disappear in the house. Johnny was a musician. They had an organ, an old organ, you know, with the buttons you push and the pedals you push. And he was playing some music. He invited me to sit down as he played some music. They sang. I think it was gospel music. I don't really remember. His mom brought cookies and milk out. I had cookies and milk with Johnny Davis. My dad and my brother probably ready to call the sheriff. I've been gone for an hour in this house. And Johnny said, "Listen, I'm going over tomorrow to One Buck Place, the headquarters of the team. If you and your dad want to come at such and such a time, I'll take you in." So the next morning, my dad and I went over. We met Johnny Davis. It was during the off season, so not a whole lot of people there. But we walked past the security guy who knew Johnny Davis and opened the door for my dad, myself, Johnny Davis to walk in to the Bucks training facility. He introduced us to some people that were there. I got some autographs. It was amazing. But I bring that up to share with you this thought. My following Johnny Davis into the Buccaneers team headquarters meant more than simply ambling along behind him. Because if I wasn't connected to that man, when I got to the security guard, he would have closed the door in my face. And I might have been able to say, "Hey, wait, wait, I know that guy." Sure you do. But see, we followed him along in such a way that we were with him. We were walking in step with him. He vouched for us. His benefits were now ours because of the proximity with which we walked in following him. And Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have, possess the light also." There's a tremendous picture. For us, as we follow Jesus, to know that, to be assured and reassured of that. And for us, as we share our faith with others, to share with them, this is what we're talking about in following Jesus. It's not just giving mental assent, throw him in the backpack with all the other junk we carry around. But walking in step with this one who declares, "I am the light of the world." Go back to 30 again. As Jesus said this, many believed. You know, as you read this text this week, did it cross your mind that people began, entered into the setting, as Burke put, so clearly around that place where the offering was so that everyone could be there. People walked upon this conversation not believing. And after hearing Jesus declare he was the light of the world, walked away as new believers. Same thing happens today. We're confronted with the words of Christ. There may be some sitting here this morning confronted with these words. There's only two, Jesus or darkness, no third alternative. What are you going to do with that statement? You might do what the Pharisees did and say, let's change the subject. But at some point, and I pray it soon, you've got to come to grips with this. Is he the light of the world? Because if he is, I need to follow him. And that same thing should be our inspiration and motivation to share our faith with others. When the word of Jesus is declared, people are forced to make a choice. This is your motivation to share with people. There's only two, Jesus or darkness, no third alternative. And then to share from our place, I walk with him, I know him, I've experienced this. What a beautiful thing it is. Turn with me real quick to John chapter 12, verse 34 and 35. Again, Jesus confronting unbelief. The crowd spoke up, we've heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Jesus told them, you're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they're going. Believe in the light while you have the light so that you may become children of light. What a beautiful thought. Reassuring for me and motivation for me to get up and say what I do, to share what I know, the one that I follow. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you that you declared your covenant name. Thank you that you reveal yourself to us in Jesus. Thank you for the faith to rest in your promise, to follow after Jesus, to walk in step. Father, would you give us even a greater clarity of this truth in our lives as we declare it to others. I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning into Sermoncast. We hope you were blessed by this week's message. For more information about Christ Church, please visit ccnh.org.